Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a Locker Room production.
Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm missing more than just your body.
Welcome to Sorry We Love Football, the Sorry We Love Football locker room, extravaganza. We've said that experience doesn't work anymore. I'm here with Danny Solomon. As always, Jamel is at Arlington National Cemetery paying his respects to the soldiers, so he'll jump in a little bit later. But until then, we're just doing this thing. We're playing a tennis match, Danny.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be two guys talking about football. If anybody wants to join, they'd be pretty sad because it's Memorial Day and we should be A, honoring our Patriots, or B, chilling out, relaxing, not worrying about talking about a sport that isn't going to be even occurring for another 5 months.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, you know, when we peruse the NFL.com headlines, they're getting sadder and sadder. And we've already talked about, you know, so-and-so headline about guys in the best shape of his life. That's one of our all-time favorites. It pops up around this time of year for like every team. I feel like every beat writer has like, you know, Jalen Reagor's in the best shape of his life article. Who's in the best shape of their life at Chiefs camp?
Oh God. I think Kyle Long is the guy who everybody's like, he's back physically. He's never going to get injured again. He went golfing with Mahomes in Hawaii. You know, they're all fast bros. They're really trying to sell us on Kyle Long.
Dude, Mahomes has a juicy NFL.com headline today. Did you see what it was?
No, I'll just hop right over there. What else do I got to do? Not at a barbecue or anything.
Oh, you don't have to hop over. I'll read it for you. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, quote, "The only record I have my eyes set on breaking is going 20-0.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, that's how quarterbacks talk all the time. They have to say shit like that. Like, look, I don't care about... That's really the point of this. He doesn't care about the individual stats. He cares about the team. But people take that headline, they spin it to mean he's saying he guarantees 20-0. He's way more humble than that. And I guarantee 20-0. But I can shoot my mouth off like that. I don't think that's what Mahomes was saying.
He said this at the Mahomes Aloha Golf Classic. I love when golf tournaments are called classics when they've only been like a year old.
What, like, a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. It's cool. It's fun that you get football players and celebs together for some bullshit.
Are you looking forward to the Super Jacket Golf Classic coming up this fall?
I shan't be attending. I hope that doesn't get anyone's quills up over there. But, you know, anyone who's listening, I hope you're not disappointed. But I'm not going to that golf classic. I don't know why it's happening. It just seems like 70 people are going to be on the golf course playing lackluster golf. It's going to take forever.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you can offer up some choice quotes to whatever reporters show up there. So that's the only thing we're going to be missing out from you. You could have some guarantees on your fantasy season, or, you know, how many great episodes you're going to write this year, all those sorts of things.
Who do you think the biggest celebrity will be at the Super Jacket Golf Classic? Maybe Shane?
Oh, man. I'm, like, racking my brain right now. Holy shit. I'd go, who has the most like Twitter followers? People. We
know? Yeah. I was going to say JB because I think I saw him on the marquee of the improv.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't think he'll be attending though, unless he was there to, for retribution of some
right,
kind.
Right. Well, now he's got all the free time to go do more stand up. So good for him.
Yeah, man. Okay. So we got this 20-0 Mahomes quote out of the way, which is, like you said, that's a team record. That's pretty fun. He's not talking about any individual stuff. But I do have a menu for you. So we're going to start with an appetizer here. And this is that right now, currently in this week, Tim Tebow has the two top-selling jerseys in the NFL. Number 85 on the Jags, the black jersey and the white jersey, are 1 and 2 league-wide. You know, we've talked about Tebow. I don't really care about him. I don't think he'll be on the team when all's said and done. But the fascination is just ridiculous. Is it just a Southern thing that we'll just never understand?
No, it's a confluence of two forces. One are people in the South, people obviously in Jacksonville especially, but people in the South showing their support for religious fanaticism. I think they're just showing they're part of the team. I like this guy. He talks about Jesus in kind of a borderline creepy way that you don't normally hear in the NFL. Most of the time it's always like Jesus helped us win. He gets a little deeper and a little weirder than that. And then number two is people buying it ironically. And you cannot sleep on that market.
So, you know, if we like showed up to the office and Ryan Connor's wearing like a Tim Tebow Jags jersey, which is, I wouldn't put it outside the realm of possibilities.
No, I mean, and the only reason I could give that he wouldn't want to put on one of those jerseys is too long, too flowy, the jersey looks, and it covers up his sick ass that he's spent years working on from all of his gluteal exercising and back exercises that he did in the office.
So here's the rest of the list of the top selling NFL jerseys for, I actually think it's for the month of May. So you got Justin Fields, number 3 and 4. You got the blue and the orange Bears jersey. And he's also number 5 with the white one. Brady is number 6.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Who's buying a Brady jersey now?
Like Randy Syfax, apparently.
That is, I mean, all of these just complete turncoats. Patriots fans, they're like Trump supporters. They're following Brady. They don't care about the party. They care about the man.
Oh, a lot of them have done that, and I like the parallel that you're drawing here, and it seems to work. Other than doesn't seem like Trump's going to win his version of the Super Bowl anytime soon.
God, let's hope not. I think we're in dicey territory if Biden croaks, though.
Yeah, because Kamala, you know, I guess drew the ire of the entire world based on a tweet saying, have a nice weekend.
I mean, unreal. Unbelievable.
I know. It's the things to be pretend mad about or shocked about. I know apparently our side is the one that does that, but it's nice when the pendulum swings and you get to see conservatives pearl clutching about something that doesn't matter.
It's true. They just make stuff up to be mad about. And at least our stuff is like, stuff we've been bitching about for years and years, and we just can't get anyone to care about.
Number 7, Najee Harris, Steelers jersey. And then you got Herbert, number 8, Chargers. And then Mahomes sitting at number
8. Wow. After Justin Herbert?
Look, he's new. He not as many people have the jersey yet. The Chiefs jersey doesn't have many alternates. So if you already were going to get a Mahomes jersey, you probably already had it. I'm surprised he's in the top 10.
Well, new people keep getting born that have eyeballs and can see how amazing this guy is.
We got Aaron Rodgers' Packers jersey as number 10. I don't know if that's like what the idea with that is.
That's
like,
another is buying it ironically. That's people joking around.
That is that's a curious one, though. Okay, number 11 is Devontae Smith, Eagles jersey. Okay. Cool.
That's, I mean, insane fanaticism in Philly. For
hey, there's another Eagles one coming up. Okay, so Brady is number 12.
Again. I can't think of another Eagles player, honestly.
It's Jalen Hurts at number 13.
Oh, of course. New faith.
And then Trevor Lawrence is 14 and Joe Burrow is 15.
That sounds about right where those guys should be. Trevor hasn't really done anything. Maybe it's just because I don't watch college football, but I don't see any reason to get excited about this guy when so many other dudes who come out sounding like he's going to be, you know, sounding like they're going to be the best, the new football Jesus, end up flopping spectacularly on the big stage.
Look, there's some funny ones, and Tebow's one of the dumbest ones, but the Justin Fields being number 3, 4, and 5, Bears fans are all in. We haven't even seen this dude like on a practice field or a preseason game or anything. And there's a bunch of Matt Harris's out there just buying his jersey. I thought that they were all kind of apprehensive to buy in, but it doesn't seem like that's what's happening.
Well, when your other alternative is to buy an Andy Dalton jersey, you're going to race to throw your money at that Fields one. I mean, it's common sense that Fields is set up to win the battle. He would really have to suck if he doesn't. And, you know, if he's that bad, then you've got a fun jersey on your hands. You know, you've got a Jamarcus Russell Raiders jersey. You've got that valuable piece of fun property you can trot out when your team is good again.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's true. That is kind of like a I can't find the term right now, but it gives you some cred. It's just like, hey, I was around during the bad times.
Oh, sure. I see people at Chiefs games still wear Tyler Thigpen jerseys. Damon Heward. I've seen a few Damon Heward jerseys.
Yeah, I guess I always just thought those people were just too cheap to upgrade, but maybe it is kind of like a badge of honor. Just like, I sat through this shit.
I saw a guy in Vegas randomly in just a couple of years ago wearing a Chiefs Larry Johnson jersey.
That's a good jersey.
He is an anti-vaxxing weird conspiracy theory guy, and on top of that he had a few incidents of throwing a drink in a woman's face. And he wasn't good after the three he had three great seasons, maybe four. And then it went just completely downhill.
Are there any people who got left off this list that you could think of where you're just like, whoa, for me, it's like, where's Matt Stafford? He just got traded. Where's the Rams fans? Like,
sure.
Rams fans buying into this. Maybe he's outside the top 15 or something and he's right there, but he's not in.
How about your Wentz Colts jersey, huh?
See, that every Colts person I know is like fucking pissed off about that trade.
Yeah, we've had Megan Gailey on the show before. She's the only Colts fan I've ever talked to. And yeah, I think you might have even spoken to her about it. But, any thoughts from the people of Indianapolis?
I have not spoken to her about it. I've seen some tweets. My buddy Patrick, who I grew up with, is a huge Colts fan. And he's just in sheer agony. Just like, it's like he found out like a family member died.
Well, you were on the way up. And then now you've thrown all of your chips in the middle of the table on Carson Wentz. Because you knew you weren't going to do any better. You don't like it when your team has to make, they have to make a move at quarterback. They're not in a good position to draft a good one. And they don't have the collateral, the capital, whatever, to get a really good one off of another team. So you just have to be like, all right, what else is out there? We're bargain shopping. And you thought you had a team on the way up, but now who knows?
I think they still think that. Hey, Kyler, welcome to the chat. We're talking about Carson Wentz on the Colts and the fans' cold response.
Yeah, I don't love the move for the Colts. Obviously, he has potential, but he was pretty bad last year.
We were talking about the top 15 NFL or the top selling NFL jerseys of the month of May.
All right, Tebow's top 15. First, right?
And then we were talking about who got left off. You know, Stafford's not on that list. Carson Wentz isn't on that list. So there might be not the most excitement from those fan bases. I know Rams fans are excited about Stafford, but they're not buying his jersey.
Right. That is.
What would you buy, Kyler? What jersey is on your list?
Well, I'm a Patriots fan, so if we get Julio, I'm getting that jersey for sure.
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
You think you guys will get Julio?
No, from what I'm hearing, it's probably going to be either Tennessee or Seattle. But we're still in the running, and I'm hoping for it.
I do love him going to Tennessee. That seems like a great destination. They're a good team. I don't think Tannehill is like a top five quarterback or anything, but he's good enough. And they just got rid of Corey Davis, so they have a slot to just stick him into. Mm-hmm. That seems like a good fit. And then Seattle, it's like DK and Julio kind of have the same playing style, unless I'm just making that up. So they kind of feel like the same dude.
Yeah, but if you put Julio and Metcalf on the outside with Lockett in the slot, that's pretty tough to stop.
Yeah, it's nasty.
But does Julio have it anymore? I haven't watched. I mean, Falcons games were pretty low on my radar last season. So was he good?
Yeah, so I try to watch every game of every team because I play fantasy. So Julio, when he's on the field, is still really good, but he's just not on the field enough.
Yeah.
So, and he's always on the injury report with some sort of turf toe or hamstring. So, like, I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for him. But if I could give up, like, a conditional second, then I would do it.
I think that's the sweet spot for sure. I mean, he's 32 years old, which in, NFL language is pretty old to get a first-round back for a non-quarterback. Obviously, we just saw Stafford get a couple first-rounders.
Mm-hmm.
But for a non-quarterback, it kind of just doesn't happen unless the guy's earlier in his career. And like we're saying, he's often injured. And so I don't think – unless somebody wants to show out a first-rounder, they could probably get him for just one of those. But I do think it'll be something like a conditional second. Titans and Seahawks, that sounds like a fun one. Just see – but, okay, if Julio doesn't come to the Patriots, which jersey are you getting?
I don't have a lot of jerseys right now. I gotta get my jersey collection up. That's a good question. I haven't thought about it.
Who's your favorite player on the Patriots right now? Because Cam is your quarterback, so that's a rough situation. I guess you got Mac Jones. Mac Jones might be a good jersey to invest in.
I'm not a Mac Jones guy, though. He'd have to prove something to me. I didn't love him coming out of college. I'd probably go for like a Dante Hightower or a Stephon Gilmore jersey because those are my guys.
Defense. That's a good call. Yeah, Gilmore's great. He's always kind of in the trade talk as well, though, but I think you guys would be smart to keep him around. I keep seeing reports coming, Mac Jones, like stuff, but just weird intangible stuff because there's nothing to report. So they're saying like Mac Jones has swagger. I'm seeing shit like that.
Whenever I saw him walk to the stage, though, that was not a walk of swagger.
Speaking of Patriots, Adam Vinatieri, he retired. That's news this week.
Yeah, man, Vinatieri was so good.
He holds most NFL records. He's got like most points scored, field goals made, attempted, consecutive season scoring, most playoff field goals, oldest player to make a 50-yarder. Pretty much every kicking record he has. And so, now that we have a Patriots fan on, it's kind of good. What, when you think of Vinatieri, and I know the obvious one is probably the Super Bowl game winning kicks, but what do you think of, or what play or game, or what's your like everlasting memory of that guy?
Like you said, the Super Bowls, obviously, but I'm a little younger. I'm 19. So like, I do remember him leaving to go to the Colts. And then we had to face him all the time in the playoffs.
Right.
So Vinatieri to me in my lifetime was more of like the enemy kicker than our kicker. But I do recognize what he did for our franchise and I love him.
For me, it's that kick in the snow against the Raiders.
I
think 2001 where
that little game. Yep.
Yeah, that's the one where it's just like I was watching that one live, and I don't know, I was early teenager or something like that, and I definitely was like, there's no fucking way this guy can make this kick. I know when you watch the replay now, it just feels like, oh yeah, of course he made it. But that game was so sloppy, and it was impossible for anybody to do anything. Just one of those kind of ugly games to watch that just became legendary because of the way you know, the tuck rule and all that stuff. But that kick is still kind of wows me.
That probably is his most impressive kick. Just all the circumstances in there, yeah.
And then watching him completely fall apart, I think, in 2019 was really fun, too. I don't know if you guys remember him single-handedly losing, like, multiple games for the
Cardinals. Oh, he was garbage. Yeah, he was garbage.
Funny. Yeah. It's like one of those burnout or fade-away type situations. Like, that ending, I know that's not going to be the lasting memory for his career, but I'm pretty sure that's the first year we did this show, Danny, and I think every week we were just like, how is this guy still the kicker on the team?
And he was. They never fired him. It was a beautiful couple of weeks where we just got to make fun of it. I mean, and now everybody's, you know, jumping all over his dick, but he is the greatest kicker, one of the greatest kickers of all time. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer. It's just funny to get to make fun of that guy. It was, you know, Jordan on the Wizards kind of shit. You didn't see that shit in The Last Dance because right. Everybody knew it was embarrassing. But when it was going on, it was fun. It was, you know, you just got to see the guy get kind of taken down a peg.
Mm-hmm. Do we think Vinatieri, there's any chance he gets first ballot?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, like I just kind of listed off some of those stats. If it's not him, I don't think a kicker ever will, because he kind of has every kicking accolade you could want. He's got game-winning Super Bowl kicks, every record you can ask for. So I guess it depends on the class that he's among, but I would say yes if I had to guess.
Well, I guess the guys that he would be in with are all the other guys that retired this offseason, right?
Right. So I guess what, Philip Rivers is up for consideration. Who else do we got that retired?
Vance McDonald.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll have to look at some of those retirements, but it seems like he's in there.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to get to this story. I was reading the Monday Morning Quarterback.
Sorry, I have to interrupt you because Drew Brees.
That's Jason Witten. Obviously kind of the most decorated guy.
Oh, Witten too, yeah. All right, yeah.
It just took me a while to find a list is all online. Took a little too long, so I had to bust in there.
Oh, yeah, did you find the list, though?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of it's garbage. I mean, Marquise Pouncey fans?
He's not getting the Hall of Famer.
Jason Witten retired again.
Right.
Hey, thank God.
Hey, we got Jamel Johnson in the house. Jamel was just at Arlington National Cemetery paying his respects to the troops. Jamel, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, God bless? This is the Ballad of the Fallen Soldiers.
Hell yeah. Hey, we were just talking about Julio on the Teen Titans, your second favorite team. How do you feel about that?
I just said yesterday they need to get Julio. This is happening?
Well, it's not official, but he's one of the top kind of destinations.
I just was saying that. Derrick Henry's only got one good season left. And by one good season, I mean just 10 games of that season.
That's a normal Derrick Henry good season as it is.
10 amazing games and then 7 games where you're like, this dude gets paid money to do this?
Yeah, and those are usually in the fantasy playoffs.
Oh, don't even get me started. I had Derrick Henry, yeah.
Yeah, man, like we were saying, Corey Davis is gone, so it feels like a natural fit. And then you got have the Seahawks are the other kind of destination where he'd be paired with Metcalf.
Football.
What's up, Brian? Football.
Hey.
Hey, Brian, which jersey would you buy if you had to buy a jersey?
I have jerseys right now.
New jersey.
Yeah, well, like a new one.
I got a Dak Prescott jersey. That's A1 right there.
Ooh. Oh, I mean, okay. This is an interesting place to make that comment, but I'm pro Dak.
Hey, you know what? You know what, though? I expect that as a Cowboys fan. You know, I don't shy away from it. It's kind of expected. Yeah. It's all good.
I'm a football fan. You know what? But I'm honestly, you know what? I hate the Eagles more.
You can't hate Dak, though. He's a good dude. You don't have to like the Cowboys, but Dak's a good dude.
Yeah, pretty good actor. He did a pretty good job in like a State Farm commercial, right?
Oh, he's in the Chunky's Campbell Soup.
I don't know if he's in State Farm yet. He's not quite on that Mahomes Rogers level, but he's got a Campbell's
Chunky Doodle Soup commercial for sure.
So he's McNabb level.
Yeah, for right now. For right now.
So you're he's all got in. Time. The Dak train. He's how many years is Dak back? You think he'll play 4 more years?
What is that supposed to mean? He's going to play.
I'm just posing the question.
What do you think's going to happen? He's going to retire at like 29? Like what's the
Okay, first off, based on his hairline, I forgot how young he was.
Okay. I mean,
I'll start there. My bad.
Sure. Sure. I get it.
Next, I'm thinking he gets traded.
Oh, dude, they wouldn't give him. All right. Okay. Cowboys, I'm not going to even defend it. I'm not going to acknowledge that. Continue. What else? Like, you almost got me. You almost baited me. I was that close. No. I'll hold back.
Oh, no. I got to take another locker room class on how to gaslight people.
You were so close, bro. You were so close. I felt my blood pressure going up, and I was like, no, don't
all
do
right.
it.
Hey, don't do that's, it. You know, that was with the 101 class. When I take 211.
I do want to start hashtag free Dak, though, because we all acknowledge Dak's a good person and a great player. But get him out of Dallas, because that's a cursed franchise. You can't win in Dallas. I'm sorry, Brian. These are the facts.
Let me see who you're a fan of. Oh, Eagles. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's personal. It gets real personal over here.
Okay, so this is coming from the Jalen Hurts crowd. Is that what I'm like? Am I registering that correctly? The Jalen Hurts crowd?
Number one in your heart and number one in your program.
But how? What? And he was one of the top 15 jerseys sold in the month of May.
You know what? Tim Tebow was on that list at one point. Don't forget, Tim Tebow was on that list.
He's number one.
I'm looking for a Tebow. I'm looking for a Tebow Jets jersey.
I told you, Hardy. I said we were trying to figure out why Tim Tebow was number one on that list. And was like,
have you really not? Hey, have you really not been a Goodwill in that long? For real?
Oh, Jamel lives at Goodwill. That's true. Shot across the bow.
Yeah, Glendale Goodwill. They keep a cot in the back for me.
It's people buying it ironically. That's what people love about the Tebow jersey. It's just a great find.
You're right. I wouldn't mind rocking a Tebow jersey just because of the Tebow jersey. I mean, it's worth the wear. Honestly,
it's a summertime. Like you pull up to a cookout 4th of July in that Denver Tebow.
Yeah, but we were talking about the 85 Jags Tebow is the number one selling jersey on NFL.com.
So, like, that's fucking ridiculous. The second or third time he's made that list.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I don't see people wearing them. Where do they go?
Listen, do you go to mostly white churches? Because if you don't, you're not seeing them.
Good point. I haven't been to Our Lady Episcopalian in a minute.
We laugh, but I'm serious.
Yo, that's so funny. Now I have to pull up to a white church just to see. But you got to go on like a Wednesday. You know what I mean? Bible study crowd.
You got to go to a youth group where they're playing dodgeball and they're praising the Lord. Yes,
and
sir.
It's going to be Patriots Tim Tebow jerseys too, because people forget that was a thing at one point.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's the ultimate of two evil forces coming together, the religious right and Patriots.
You know what that's like? That's like God making a deal with Satan. That's some serious shit right there.
Y'all not even seeing the big pit. Jesus Christ is the number one Patriot.
I don't know if he's.
I'd like you to expand on that, actually.
America is God's country. God bless America.
Oh, you got a Jeff Gordon? Like jersey too,
Jeff Gordon.
I'm getting NASCAR vibes now. I do.
I have I have the Dale Jr. jacket, and I also have a Danica Patrick jacket. Okay, I do have these items.
Well, that either means you're white or you love Aaron Rodgers and his exes. It could be either way.
It's the second one.
Yeah, he's
that's amazing.
It could be.
Did he date Dale Jr.?
I mean, probably he did. Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, Aaron
Dale Jr. was riding the 88 when he was riding the Mountain Dew car.
I mean, it may be a deep cut. It may be a deep cut if you're not a NASCAR fan, but there is rumors of Dale Jr. and Danica having kind of a thing way back when.
Hey, I like that.
What about Aaron and Dale Jr.?
You know what? Yeah. I can't rule it out, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not going to draw that line in the sand, but I haven't heard, you know.
I could see it.
I could.
Well, hey, we're talking about, you know, the Lord above smiling upon America, which America, what we did, we created football, aka the NFL. It's Memorial Day. Let's talk about the salute to service. What's your favorite military moment in the NFL? Mine is when the president said to stop watching. That was so stupid and funny.
That's top three. That's top three.
Yeah,
you're right.
Oh, man. Favorite military moment.
I mean, it's not a specific one, but I think if you go to any stadium in America when they salute the troops, just look for that moment where someone in the crowd is puking during
That's a good one.
They pan the camera to Staff Sergeant Delco or whatever, you know, the fuck their name is. And yeah, some dude just yakking up.
Is this a reoccurring thing? I've never seen this before.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, what month is this? This is September.
Oh, is that when they do that?
Because I know October is breast cancer awareness, and we have the pink everywhere. And then which month is salute to service? Or is it a week? Because they have all the alternates, dude. You get the hats and the hoodies and the jerseys.
I think it's just 1 week, but I'm not sure.
You know what my favorite moment is? It's a little bit indirect, but it's when everybody's favorite racist Uncle Cletus justified racism because Pat Tillman died in Afghanistan. That is hands down.
Yeah. Number one moment. Pat Tillman is fucking rolling around in his grave the way they were talking.
If Pat Tillman could die for the country, then you could get up off that fucking knee, buddy. That's all I fucking know.
I've heard people say that, ironically.
It is quite ironic. the way that the Pat Tillman story was hijacked by, one constituency of the country is very funny. Also,
shout out to Adidas, who reproduced the Pat Tillman Arizona State jersey. And I think, like, when they were selling it, the proceeds went to his foundation, you know, probably his family or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. I think you can only get it on, like, eBay and shit now, but it's one of them.
Sounds like a collector's item, honestly.
Yeah.
It kind of is, yeah.
I will say, though, Pat Tillman's, like, army photo, dude is chiseled. This shit is...
Right.
I understand.
I mean, think about this, though. Would you really want to play for the Cardinals back in the day? The Cardinals. Cardinals or the military? It's like, well, damn.
Let me see who the quarterback in 2002 was. Is this Jake Plummer era?
It's pre Kurt Warner. It's pre Kurt Warner for sure.
Yeah. It might even be between the two.
Yeah, I can't blame him for saying, give me grenades. I can't blame him for that. That's a rough time.
It gets to a point. It's like, how many times am I going to get fucking smoked by fucking Freddie Mitchell?
Hey, this was Jake Plummer and Josh McCown. Preston Parsons is a third stringer. Don't remember him.
Anquan Boldin's on that team, right?
Yeah.
Anquan was there forever. He was there forever.
This is showing me Arnold Jackson, Kevin Casper, Nate Poole, Jason McAdley. This is just a really bad team. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense when you look at it.
Get a Jason McAdley jersey, Jamal. And look out for that.
Hey, so you guys asked me when I got here, but I probably missed what y'all said. What are y'all's jerseys? What's hanging up in the closet? What's the go-to?
Well, the reason we got in that, we were going through the top 15 selling jerseys of May, and then we were talking about who was left off of that because we didn't. You know, Matt Stafford's not on that list. Carson Wentz isn't on that list. So we're like, maybe those fan bases aren't as excited about their new players as you would think they would be. So that's a great question. Mine personally, Pat Tillman jersey, Arizona State.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Clinton Portis, the burgundy one with the arrow. This is the Hennessy era. This is when he was drinking Hennessy before games. That's my go-to.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Was he bragging about that? How do we know that that was happening? I can't quite remember how that came out.
I don't know, but he confirmed it and was like, it was just one shot of Hennessy. That was basically his explanation. I only did one.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Dude, I would see people drinking the stupidest shit before games in college. Like, I'm talking, you know those, like, the Monster Energy drinks, like the big-ass one? I'm talking, like, it's like 48 ounces.
Oh, yeah. It's the screw on top. It's got the screw on top, right?
Yeah, dudes would slam those, and it's like, guys, this game's going to last, like, 3.5 hours.
Bro, yeah, I remember my high school team, we had this dude. He used to slam diet pills and then he would get dressed, put his pads on, then take everything off and go take a shit.
Hey, is there anything better than high school football? My God, that's America.
So fun.
That's America.
High school football is America. I like that, Brian. I do. Because it's true. It is absolutely true. Hey, I'm going around, clicking around NFL.com right now. May 30, notable dates in NFL history. Joe Namath turned 78 today, guys. Hey, happy birthday, Joe Namath.
Okay.
Every time I think Joe Namath, I think about that time he hit on Susie Colbert, was it?
Yeah.
I think
it was like hand. Yeah. Yo, he had the mink on, though.
He did. He was feeling good, too. I don't blame him.
What was the drunkest thing he said on that? I used to know it. I used to have that memorized. But now all I can remember is, I just want to kiss you. But before that, he like, they like, he was trying to do some real like analysis on the Jets. And
I honestly, I can't believe they let him on TV. Like, he had to get past two or three people and they just okayed him. You know what I mean?
Well, he's Broadway Joe. He's a gamer. They thought he would be able to step it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's still a legend. Don't get me wrong.
I'm watching right now. He's bigging up Chad Pennington.
For what?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm saying, I'm watching. So he's talking about Chad Penn. He's like, I'm proud of Chad. And then Susie asks a follow-up, and then he's just deeply looking into her eyes. He's like, I want to kiss you.
Like, he says something. He's like, unexpectedly. It's like something. It was like one word. God damn it. This is going to bother me all night.
And then after he says, like, I want to kiss you, he says, I couldn't care less about this team.
Fire, bro.
What a guy.
And then they cut back to Chad Pennington putting his mouthpiece on and breaking the huddle. Pretty good
stuff. Hey, we can only dream of accomplishing so much in life that
I know.
We think that shit flies. You know? Like, what do you have to accomplish in life where you don't care anymore?
You got to guarantee victory for a Super Bowl, I think.
Well, then he got clean after that, and now he actually goes around telling people that his diet that he's on has cured his CTE.
Oh, like on some Gronk type thing?
Yeah. Like, all whatever bullshit. He told Stern his CTE is gone. He cured it himself. Maybe that's why he had such a drunken boner on that field, because or maybe he's trying to blame it on the CTE when in fact he never had it.
CTE kicking in there, yeah.
He's from a world pre-salad, so that makes sense.
That just makes me that much more proud of Tebow, because he's wearing 85 this year in honor of his former teammate Aaron Hernandez, who suffered from CTE.
Ooh. Hey.
Hey, the Lord teaches you to forgive everyone.
Hey, weren't they roommates? Or
rocks,
roommates?
Rocks,
yeah, I think so.
Rocks from a glass house, buddy. Rocks from a glass house.
He who hasn't murdered, let them cast the first stone.
Amen.
That's like verbatim too. That's right up there, man. That's like Paul fucking 37:11, no doubt.
Now I gotta look up what Paul 37:11 really is. It's the beauty of the internet.
Hey, also notable birthday tomorrow coming up. Santana Moss, Jamel, team fan.
That's my geyser. One of the three times in my adult life I have seen us beat the Cowboys in Dallas.
It hasn't happened very often since Dak took over, if we're being honest about it.
Oh, we're being brutally honest. I just don't watch anymore. I don't.
That's all good. I mean, Thanksgiving must be tough as a indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous people.
Yeah, just as a follow-up.
We got bigger fish to fry than football.
Fish to fry than football. Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know what, though? The football team does have the best roster in the NFCs. They really do.
People top keep to bottom. Telling you that, and I have been threatening to fight them.
You just don't have a quarterback. Excited. You're just missing the one piece. That's it.
If Washington had Dak, they'd be Super Bowl contenders.
People really sleeping on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick will give you a hot three games.
Nobody sleeping on Fitzpatrick. We fully expect the four touchdowns and four picks every game. Every game.
No, but fun fact that I'm sure nobody's ever told you before is that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. So,
damn.
Let me never heard that down. Once in my.
I'm gonna tell all my friends come August. Can't wait.
Got a 49 on his Wonderlic.
Yeah.
So I'm clicking around NFL.com right now, and this type of story popped up, which is one of my favorite types because it's a Jay Cutler story, and he's haunting a franchise. And I'm not making this about Jay Cutler. This is about any kind of quarterback that your team had to suffer through. Who sucked, and then will comment about your team construction just until the day they die. So Jay Cutler's butting in saying he wouldn't play Justin Fields this season. It's Andy's team and let Andy take the reins. And it's like Bears fans have to be like, can we get this guy to just shut the fuck up and like never comment on our team again?
Yeah, that was pretty
unfortunately dumb, but... he's a little too hot and you're going to have to deal with him for the rest of your life.
The alternative is Andy Dalton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Yeah, man.
Why did that he spit out my water?
It should, unless you're a Bears fan. Like that shouldn't be concerned. I'm kind of happy, honestly.
If I'm Justin Fields, I'm just placing a restraining order on Jay Cutler right now. I don't want this dude showing up to practice. I don't want him standing next to me before a game during the national anthem. Just keep him away.
He probably should have done that even before the comments, to be honest.
Yeah, as soon as he got drafted, that was the smart move. But I'm honestly, no jokes. He kind of fell further than I thought he would have. What do y'all think that's attributed to? I mean, I had him in my top three quarterbacks, honestly, personally.
Oh, Haskins. It was because Haskins flopped.
Yeah, it's the Ohio State thing that Jamel, his theory on if you're an Ohio State quarterback, you're not necessarily good.
So well, what I've just, heard is that
the big schools, like,
wait, people are still drafting stickers on helmets and not players? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
Okay.
It's a philosophy. You at that college, they don't give a fuck about the quarterback. They'll just put some dude in there, and it always turns out to be right.
Why did Mac Jones go 15 then, if we're talking Alabama?
Well, he's, I guess because he's a little more accurate than the average Bear.
He's accurate, but that's about it.
And he looks like, you know, he should own a lawn care business. So. That just, it relates to the owner. The owner's like, I like the cut of his jib.
And it's the Saban-Belichick relationship.
Yeah, because in the second round, we took another Alabama player. That's just kind of what we do.
Did you guys watch that HBO special where it's just those two guys talking football?
Honestly, that was really cool. I did enjoy that. That was good stuff. Those guys are football geniuses.
Right. It was interesting because it's one of those things where I don't know how candid they actually were, but there were some real nuggets in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks because Belichick and Saban are never going to be the kind of guys to open up all the way on camera. It's not going to happen.
Because they're never going to retire. I mean, you know, you're going to coach till they die. But then you have guys like Parcells. I don't think they're really writing the tell-all books unless I just haven't read it yet.
No, those guys are football lifers. Like, they honestly believe it's a fraternity and some stuff forever stays undercover, for better or worse. But, you know.
I don't know. I hope Belichick, when he's like 80 or 85, just spills everything.
No, he'll either still be coaching or he'll have died of a heart attack on the sideline by then.
Jesus.
One of the two.
I don't know. know. I honestly think Belichick within the next 5 years is probably going to be done.
I would believe that, except for the fact that he has a really hot second wife, I believe. She's like 30-something, 40, early 40s, and plenty of money, and there's no reason for him to continue coaching.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying he'd be done.
Here's what I'm thinking with Belichick. We just saw last year all these guys have to learn how to virtually coach a team. So once you reach a point where you're physically unable to maybe get pissed off on the sideline all game, why wouldn't Belichick just convince Kraft to let him coach from his couch?
We've seen it kind of work. But I don't know if he'd want to do that. I think if he'd want to coach, he'd want to really be there.
On the flip side of that, if Belichick managed to survive an entire season of coaching via Zoom, then what's going to stop him going forward?
Really? That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's anything stopping him. I just think that he might not want to. Just looking at the team, it seems like he's trying to teach his son everything and then pass the team down to him soon.
Yeah, but then he's like the crazy old guy overlord who the son is the coach, but then the son has to go to the back room and get dad's approval no matter what he does.
I mean, but is that the same thing for Mike Shanahan and
Kyle Shanahan? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not how it works. I'm sure Kyle still trusts Mike, and they have discussions about it, but...
Oh, they talk all the time about coaching, yeah. And it'd probably be like that with Steve and Bill.
Speaking of Zooms, I was reading the Monday Morning Quarterback by Albert Breer this morning on Sports Illustrated. It's great. You guys should all read it. They were talking about Joe Burrow, while he was rehabbing, would just jump into the coaches' Zooms and just listen in because he was bored. And I just couldn't – I don't know. It made me like – it made me realize that, like, every job was just kind of some version of that. Like, the past year where even a professional football team was just a dude jumping into a Zoom. And sometimes when you jump into a Zoom, you're like, why is that person here? And Joe Burrow is getting into the coaches' meetings. I don't think they could have told him no. I think they just had to let him come in.
What if they were talking about him? I mean, what if they were talking shit on some things he was doing? I guess is his attitude so good that he's willing to take that?
I think you got to start a side chat, and then you're just like, hey, what are we going to do about Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those. Oh, haha, Joe. Welcome, Joe.
You're back.
Yeah, Joe. So glad you're here. Anyway, we were just concluding. Good day.
Yeah, we're talking about roster cuts, and maybe you shouldn't. Oh, I love it. I got some ideas. And then before you know it, yeah, Joe's just a part of – Joe knows too much. Now Joe knows too much.
I would say that if I didn't think he was so influential in them drafting Ja'Marr Chase.
For sure. It seems like he may have played these Zoom cards really well because
he kind of pulled a LeBron, honestly.
And if that's the case, he should never be a general manager because that was a terrible decision.
Yeah, it's – well, I like the LeBron comparison too because you're in this kind of small market Ohio team. You're a savior. You're from there.
Hometown.
Now you're kind of this young in your career, you're just kind of like, hey, I'm going to make all the decisions for this team. It's amazing.
I mean, I don't blame him for trying. I don't blame They really should have gotten offensive linemen. They really should have.
They needed Penei Sewell, yeah.
That's okay, though. It's all right. We'll see what happens.
Jamel, what if...
Before you fell to him?
You said what?
I thought Penei Pasta. I thought...
No, the Bengals. The Bengals pick five. The Bengals pick five. There were no offensive linemen before then. Yeah.
Oh shit.
They had Slater drop down to like the Chargers at 12 or 13 or something. But those are both like top 10 draft picks potentially. They'd pick neither.
Yeah, that was odd to me. Burrow's just going to be.
I was going to say, Jamel, what if you were doing a Zoom about when you're. Your projects you're working on, and Joe Burrow just hopped in the room.
I would ask him if he was the real Joe Burrow, and if he said yes, I would be like, all right, cool. Don't say the N-word.
He's actually pretty cool,
Joe Burrow, not Jake Fromm. Two different guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, hey, in that exact same article, it was talking about how Joe Burrow became best friends with Nick Bosa during the rehab because they were both in California.
Well, of course,
and both had torn ACLs.
That's not a reason to be friends with somebody.
Well, I mean, look, you're 22 or whatever. You both have the same injury and you're in the same city. So I don't know why they became friends, but they did.
Fair.
They played video games together. They ate sandwiches together. They talked to politics, I'm sure.
Oh, no doubt. He leaned over and said, Antifa, am I right?
Maybe that's the kind of dialogue we need, because I think Burrow is a libtard, and so get the two of them into a training room, working on their ACLs, and just hashing shit out.
I'm telling
America
you,
needs more of that.
In the next 2 years, Nick Bosa is going to be lobbying for the 49ers color rush jersey to be the Confederate flag.
Oh, man. This is a silly room this week. Guys are getting goofy.
A Philly room. You know, if yeah, silly left room. The game, Jamel, and your stupid team is winning.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm walking out.
Okay. Hey, realistically speaking, though, for the Eagles, I mean, you guys didn't pick up a quarterback this year, right? You had an opportunity.
Well, we got Joe Flacco in the offseason, Super Bowl MVP.
And the quarterback class next year looks kind of weak. So if things don't go right with Jalen, I mean, what are the options?
I've heard people say, like, I don't pay too much attention to college, but I've heard people say it's stacked.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think when it comes to quarterbacks, this was kind of the year. I'm sure the class will be good, and we'll have more tape on everybody next season. But I do think the quarterback class this season is supposed to be a lot better. The next, and we have the most draft capital going forward. We have,
I think it's three first-round
picks,
right?
Three first-round picks next season, and then I think the most picks overall as well. So we have options.
You sold your soul for it.
Yeah, sure. We tanked a game on national TV and got Doug Peterson fired. He died for our sins, but whatever.
That's not what got him fired. That's not what got him fired.
It was the last straw for sure.
It was the cherry on the cake, but it wasn't what got him fired, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. You're probably closer to Philly sports, Daniel. But I mean, come on, they were getting rid of him anyway, in my opinion.
It felt like that. It felt like he won a Super Bowl and they still treated him like he had training wheels on. And it was just, he got sick of that. And so I think there was some tension going on with him in the front office because he's like, hey, let me actually run the team the way I want to. And they're like, no, we think you're stupid.
There was that article that came out right after the season ended where it was pretty much the GM and the owner have a pretty tight relationship.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there was a little bit of turmoil there with Doug, and it was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's get rid of Doug. Problem solved.
Do you think this is the make or break for Jalen Hurts? Because from what I've heard, this is like his last year to prove something.
You know, that's every season for the NFL. You know, I don't think Jalen Hurts.
That's kind of tough, man. They only gave him like – he only got like six games.
Well, and then really
they got four.
His best game. And then his best game, they pulled him games. When he was going to win.
Well, nowadays teams feel like they have to compete when a quarterback is on their rookie contract.
Right. And we have a team now with a rookie head coach, completely new staff. You know, offensively they should be decent because their O-line's good. They have – decent skill players. So Jalen should be set up decently. I don't think it's the best situation in the league. It's not the worst. So I like what we saw from him.
How do you feel about Nick Sirianni, too? Because all I've really heard about him is that he's been playing like tic-tac-toe and connect four with players for some reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was paper, rock, scissors. That's how he learns if they're competitive or not. Really stupid way to figure that out.
He was playing Connect Four recently.
I mean, probably overblown, right? Like, that's something he did, but that's not the deciding factor. It's not like they're doing kneecap tests out in Philadelphia like they're in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that, too. It's a funny headline because there's not much to talk about. Because no one knows about this fucking guy. He's he's so new. We have no feel for. I don't even think he called plays in Indy. He was the offensive coordinator, and I think head coach called plays. So
that you first really gaffe,
where he's coming from.
That first gaffe that a coach makes in the new city just loses the people so quickly.
Hey, Jamel, mute yourself.
Yeah.
If you could. Thank you.
My bad, guys.
You know, Jamel's usually got a lot of stuff going on. We understand. I don't know what those voices in a kitchen. It sounds like they're in a kitchen.
Maybe it does Jamel sound like he's on break at a restaurant. It really does.
Yeah.
There was definitely an elevator at some point.
Yeah, man. I think the Eagles will go 0-17 next year, but they'll put up some points.
Lying.
Yeah. That's what I'm sticking with.
I don't blame you. I'd want that top draft pick too, but 0-17, come on.
Yeah, Sirianni gets fired when we're 0-14, and then they just let Jason Kelce coach the team because he's just a legend on the team. And then I don't know what's going to go on with Deshaun Watson, but I really think that they kind of have him as a fallback. I know he's going to have a new team before this even happens, but
you love it. Just begging that he makes it out the other side of this horrible sex assault allegation. Yeah.
I mean, what's the massage therapy industry look like in Philly?
Yeah, maybe they don't ask questions or go to the media all the time. Don't lawyer up on guys who are just trying to hump the air innocently.
I'm not sure Deshaun Watson's sexual preferences and weird shit that he does. The way that it could play out is he actually does sit out this full season, and he just pulls a Lev Bell, and then somehow his name comes out clean on the other side of all these allegations.
And then all you have is just in the biggest moments in the playoffs, you have everybody on the field being able to make fun of him about this one thing, ruining his confidence.
I don't know.
He's damaged goods.
The NFL is such a fucking turn the other page type industry that if he sat out a full year and came back, sure, there'd be a couple of ha-ha hand job jokes. But, a year later? Come on.
That's the thing, though. If it was him forcing women to give him hand jobs, I feel like the other guys in the NFL would give him a pass. But it's this hilarious air humping, weird, you can work around my boner thing. It's just so ripe for D linemen on the other team to just get in his head with.
I do think he gets traded to the Patriots so him and Robert Kraft can trade business cards.
Ooh.
There's a match made in handjob heaven.
Heaven. What's it take to get up there? I'll pray.
For this show is, hey, NFL fans have justified rap for being fucking monsters and the worst fans in sports. But hey, the NBA fans are really making a push to get that title and just be bigger pieces of shit than football fans. And I'm proud of the NBA fans. I like that they're going for this title. Football fans are more like us now, right, guys? We're passive.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are worse than soccer.
We love the beauty of the game.
You know what it is? It's that people haven't been to a sporting event in a full year, and now they finally got to go, and it's no holds barred. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They've been simmering on this shit for a full year, and now it's ugly. I've never seen this many incidents. Back to back to back. It's crazy.
It's bad,
man. We need a Malice at the Palace during the finals.
They should have let Russell Westbrook play.
Well, that's what Dame Lillard kind of said that on Twitter, was just like, hey, they're going to keep doing it until they get the response they want, which is essentially Artest going into the stands and fighting them. So, unfortunately, I don't know exactly how you police it other than not having fans, which no one wants. I think having fans at the games have made them way better. So, it's also this weird social media thing where it's just like they probably spent a year and a half trapped inside DMing their favorite athletes just the worst shit you could possibly think of. And now they get to the stadium and they don't have the filter still. They haven't remembered that real life is different. I don't know. It's hard to justify. It's despicable behavior, but hey, it's not just football fans.
Right. Well, I've seen some people on Twitter.
They got a jail in Philly for a reason. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. They've at least upgraded from, they're not throwing batteries anymore. They're throwing popcorn. So
wait till Santa Claus comes out. Let's wait till Santa Claus comes out. We'll see.
Yeah. No, it's not great, Bob. Danny, final thoughts this week on fandom.
Well, you know, it's not football, but, and it is fighting. I'm really looking forward to this Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather on Sunday. I just want that guy to get his ass kicked. Maybe more than the fan who dropped popcorn on Russ's head.
Well, there's no
this
way
might be as close loses, as we right? get to that. Because, you know, Logan Paul represents every one of these water bottle throwing, popcorn throwing idiots.
Yeah, just let Russ take his energy out on Logan Paul after Mayweather beats the shit out of him.
Hey, and Jamel's final thought is he doesn't have a final thought. He has to poop. So we will end the show on that. Thanks for listening. Every Monday at 5 p.m. we'll be on here. And then check out the regular podcast, too, where we actually put effort and research into it.
Hey, I put effort into this.
Brian and Kyler. peace out, everybody.
Bye. Sorry.
Bye.